Well, right before the A's game ended, we heard Ken Korak and his crew, you know, talk about the A's and the Red Sox. And how about this move, all right? The Boston Red Sox add Rajay Davis, all right?
Oh, boy.
Yeah. And the Red Sox are sending a minor league outfielder, Rafael Racones, to Oakland. We're talking about a guy that, you know, again, gives this team an extra little extra pop.
Oh, no doubt. That's what he did for Cleveland in the playoffs last year. And the A's do what the A's do. They get rid of a talent and they get another young talent that might be something coming up, but it's not what A's fans need right now.
All right. Hey, let's talk about this trade. I want to get the thoughts from our listeners, and we get to Reggie. Reggie, you'll start us off. Grant and Doug. Hi, Reggie.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. What's up, Reggie?
I feel like Cleveland has got the best of this, definitely, and I'll break it down for you. The reason for that is I feel like while Kyrie Irving's a good three-point shooter, I think better team, so it spreads the floor a little bit more for those other guys to operate. And also, he's a one dribble and go guy to the bucket. And Doug will understand this, being a defensive guy in the NBA. You know, guys like Kyrie, you can prepare for a little bit because they, you know, he still gets to the rack, but he's a dance and get to the rack. Isaiah can put it down one dribble and go past. So guys have to get back or move a lot quicker. But before, you know, it gives those other guys room to get shots off. So I think he makes this team better, even though, if you just look at the two players at it, you know, side by side, you wouldn't necessarily say he's a better player, but he's a better fit.
Thanks very much for the call. We really appreciate it. Let's get to KD. Hello, KD.
What's going on, you guys? Hey, a couple things. You know, Isaiah, it just kind of seems reminiscent, Grant and Doug, that, I mean, when DeLisanto traded off Isaiah, I was thinking, what was he doing? And I kind of thought the same thing to this, but I think it's a better fit for both of them. And the reason why I said is they both defensively are pretty equal. But I think Isaiah can work with LeBron and work with that offense and be a little bit better passer than he had to do at the Celtics. I don't know what your thoughts on that, because I think he was asked to do a lot in Boston, and I don't think he's going to have to do as much.
Well, I don't think so either. I think you're going to eat off of the plate of LeBron, where everyone was eating off of IT, whether it was closing the game, setting everybody up, all the different things. You know, Kyrie wants to be a number one. I think that IT, with his skill set as a number two with LeBron, I think I would have to agree with you, KD. It is a fantastic fit. And as long as IT is healthy, I think that is going to be the biggest key for them.
Good deal.
All right. Hey, thank you. Let's get to Steve. Steve, welcome to the program.
Oh, hi, Grant. Yeah, I'm a Boston fan, so I was real happy with the trade. Thomas, great player offensively, but defensively he was just killing them. I know Irving isn't considered the greatest defensive player, but the 3 years of age difference and
this
the fact
is a
that
message from Municipal Services
Boston
Bureau.
Was going to sign
please be advised that this
Isaiah
is neither
Thomas
a sales
a
nor a
deal.
Solicitation call. We are contacting you in reference to an important matter. Please call us at 1-844-705-4613 as soon as possible. We are open until 11 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time, Monday through Friday, and 5 o'clock p.m. Central Standard Time on Saturday.
But they have plenty of swing men that can take his place. And I don't know if he was disgruntled because of sounds like he's kind of disgruntled. I don't know what the current situation is. Zidic is nothing at this point. And the 2000, the Nets pick, that could be a 10th spot pick. There's a lot of teams that are going to be tanking, and New Jersey isn't.
Brooklyn.
Brooklyn okay. Isn't necessarily going to be one of them next year. I think they're going to be a better team.
Yeah, there's no reason for them to tank because they don't have their pick.
I don't see how you can really say one team did better than the other when you don't know what the Nets pick is going to be, and you don't know how Isaiah Thomas's health is going to be. So,
Okay.
I was real happy as a Boston Celtic fan.
Well, thanks for the call, Steve. You have a good afternoon.
You know,
okay, thank you.
You know, Grant, Danny Ainge is a shrewd dude.
Yeah.
And I have to think that he is thinking to himself, what is the next move? Because I think that he sees Cleveland. Now, Cleveland's trying to do this to keep LeBron. Like, let us show you that we are making all the right moves to stay, buoyant and valid when you get to the finals. And is there another move that Danny can make to try to make this what he needs to do to compete? And I think that this was that quote-unquote superstar. He was trying to get Paul George. He was trying to get different guys. So he put it at the point guard position. Is it enough for them to get to the finals, conference finals? Yes. I think he's looking a year ahead from right now. This might not be the ultimate thing. It probably makes them a little bit better because Kyrie is that type of player, but let's see how he plays with the Celtics.
Abel, welcome to the program.
Hey, Grant. How's it going?
Good, Abel. What's up?
So my opinion is I think the Cavs really won the trade, mainly because Isaiah Thomas and Jay Crowder are some really, really good players, and they're going to benefit big time from playing alongside LeBron. But I did want to ask you about the trade. When I was here reading stuff about it, there was rumors saying that the Cavs were really trying to get the Lakers pick that the Celtics have right now, and that it's a 2-5. If it's between 2-5, it's Boston's pick. And if it's outside of that, it's the Sacramento's pick. Is that correct?
No, it's not Sacramento's pick.
So what's the contingency? If it's number one, the Lakers keep it. If it's 2-5, it's the Celtics. And then otherwise,
I'd have to look it up.
Okay.
Yes, that is accurate. That actually, the way you just described that, that's accurate.
So the Kings would benefit if the Lakers actually did halfway decent next year. Is that correct?
Yeah, you could look at it that way.
Oh, wow. So at the Kings fan, we're going to root for the Lakers.
No, we're not rooting for the Lakers.
You lost us right there, Abel. You had us the whole way, buddy.
All right. Well, thanks, guys. Catch you
later.
Hey,
Abel, have a good afternoon. So, again, there are a couple of question marks, and I think the previous caller before Abel's hit it on the head. We really don't know the health of Isaiah Thomas in his hip.
Right.
Okay. Assuming, and again, I'm just doing this for the sake of conversation, assuming that that's a non-issue, let's say that the Cavaliers are unable to keep Isaiah Thomas after this year.
Mm-hmm.
All right? So if they lose Isaiah Thomas,
okay,
they get a potential high draft pick.
Right.
But if they lose LeBron James, and most people think he's leaving, now this could be also Cleveland's attempt to appease LeBron.
No doubt.
And if you could keep LeBron in Cleveland, keep Isaiah, and then all of a sudden – Maybe this was Cleveland's best chance to get LeBron to say, "Hey, I'm here for the duration."
I truly think that it was, and I think that it goes Kobe Altman, the GM now. I think it goes probably a long way with LeBron to show that he has the chops to make this type of trade and make it in the fashion that people are saying, you know what, you guys got the better end of that deal. Obviously, the draft pick is huge, Grant. They could, I mean, if they really wanted to step out on a limb, they could probably use that draft pick to make another move to solidify themselves even more, thinking that you probably are going to have a Dwayne Wade come over at some point this year.
All right. Now, again, let me talk about the draft picks because it's kind of confusing. So bear with me here. All right. If the Lakers pick next year, all right, is number one or it's six or later, the Sixers then will convey to the Celtics the rights to which would be the more favorable of the Sixers' own first-round pick or the Kings' first-round pick in 2019. So, again, as long as it's not the number one pick in 2019, if the more favorable of the Sixers-Kings' 2019 first-round pick is the number one pick, you know, again, the Sixers convey the rights to the less favorable of those two. It's very complicated. It doesn't have really anything to do with Sacramento. The last caller was talking about Sacramento's out of the picture. They don't really care.
Right.
But the Kings are concentrating on their team. They got. I'm looking at this from Cleveland. If they don't have Isaiah Thomas after this next season, and the pick is maybe it's a 6, 7, or 8 pick.
Mm-hmm.
But you weren't gonna. Kyrie Irving didn't want to be there. He wasn't gonna stay there after his contract was up. And if you lose LeBron, you're a disaster anyway. So maybe this is the best chance to try to appease LeBron to look after this year.
I would say it absolutely is. And you know what? In the Eastern Conference, is going to be a weak one. Where are the Brooklyn Nets going to fall in that pantheon, Grant? And I think probably before the trade deadline, Cleveland's going to know. So you might even see that packaged up at the trade deadline. There's just so many different options. And Jay Crowder, I like the fact that Jay Crowder is a defensive player. He's a spot-up three-point shooter. You got a closer in Isaiah Thomas. And you got, you know, arguably the best player in the world. Now, when you talk about their bench, you add D. Rose into that equation. And, you know, you got Iman Shumpert. And they have a pretty deep team. Is LeBron going to be able to carry them over the hump? Those Cavs-Celtics games are going to be big because it's going to be LeBron versus Kyrie. I wanted my own team. Let me show you how good I am, LeBron. I'm the big dog on the block. It'll be interesting.
All right. How do you feel about this big deal? Do you think Cleveland got the best of this deal, or do you think Boston did? Or are you going to take the approach, you know what? We need to wait and see whether or not the Celtics and the Cavaliers, what are they going to do after this? Are the Cavaliers going to be able to re-sign Isaiah after this year? You know, these are all things that we don't know as of right now.
You know, the interesting part, Grant, is this is going to be a Celtics team that is, okay, so they get the number one seed. They make it to the Eastern Conference Finals. But this is it's going to be a different team. They lost their best defender on the perimeter. They traded Bradley to Detroit.
Right.
So he's not there. Now you lost. So you lost your whole backcourt.
It's a whole different makeup, isn't it?
Exactly. You lost your other better wing defender in Crowder. Now he's and Isaiah are on your rival. You just usually don't see swaps like this happen. I would go to say that Cleveland is going to be better out of the gate, especially because they have the best player and there's a little bit more continuity there. Now, you could be wrong. Kyrie and Gordon and those guys, they could mesh together really, really fast because Kyrie is a dynamic scorer, but you're going to have to wait and see.
All right, 339-1140 is the local number, 800-920-1140. I'm putting right now the check mark in the column of the Cavaliers. But what about you? Who got the better of this deal? All right. Welcome. You're on with Grant Napier and Doug Christie. How are you?
Hey, good afternoon, gentlemen. Nice to hear from you guys and talk to you again. I think it's kind of out to see as to how this all articulates. I think Isaiah Thomas fits better with Cleveland offensively, much better. What's going to be curious to see for me is how Kyrie Irving is going to transition and mold into a motion or a more team-orientated offensive team. It seemed like last year, I'm just going off last year, that the Celtics seemed to move the ball around, a lot of passing. Maybe it's because of the guys they had. But from what I remember, Kyrie in Cleveland, a lot of times he'd get the ball, and especially when LeBron was tired or they just – wanted a bucket or need a bucket, you just have one guy out and he's just almost isolation. So I think it's going to take a year. I don't know, maybe not a year, but I think it's going to take longer for the Celtics to, meld together and play well together as a team as opposed to Cleveland. You kind of already know what you're going to do and what's expected of you. And I think Isaiah, depending on the hit, is going to flourish even more. So,
right, and here's the other issue that we need to talk about. And I'll let Doug respond to you. Mm-hmm. Does this make either of these teams better than Golden State? And the answer is no.
No,
it doesn't. Make the Cleveland Cavaliers deeper. They are going to be a bit deeper. Is that enough? I doubt that it's enough. There's some interesting matchups. Now you got Crowder. He can go against Draymond Green. There's some nice matchups
there.
You know
what else is also kind of curious for me to see is how Kevin Love is going to step up to the plate, so to speak. Not that he didn't the last couple of years, but I think with Kyrie out, so to speak, I think Kevin Love is going to have to take a higher role, and I think he may flourish if he stays close to the rim.
You know,
Sal, you
made an interesting point about Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens, we didn't know what type of coach he was going to be, and I can tell you he is an absolute dynamite coach looking at him. The style of play that they play is passing, cutting, dribble, drive, and kick, all those different things. And can Kyrie fit into that, or does Brad Stevens play to his strengths and allow him to be more ball dominant? And that's going to be the interesting part of watching Boston develop.
All right. If you want to call the show, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Let's just assume, or not assume, but let's just say that Cleveland's the number one team in the East.
Okay.
Do you think Boston is number two, or do you think that they fall a little bit behind Washington or Toronto? Right now, depending on, you know, again, no more moves made, where would you put – who's the second-best team if we agree that Cleveland's still number one? And I think Cleveland is still number one.
You know, Grant, you bring up two teams. First of all, Washington, and second of all, Toronto. I think Toronto, by making no moves, made some big moves, meaning that there's another year of continuity, of getting together. Everyone got paid. There's, you know, a little, you know, simmering down process. I don't know that Boston is better than those two teams. I would say right out of the gate, Washington and Toronto should be better because they're more, like I said, more continuity. Will they get second? I don't know that, Grant. I think one of those teams is going to be the second seed, and it won't be Boston. I could be wrong, but we'll have to see.
All right. What do you think about the big deal that we talked about before we got off the air, and then a little bit after we got off the air, it was announced that it was official with Boston and Cleveland. All right, let's get to Jackson. Hello, Jackson.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
What's up, Jackson?
Not much. I was just wondering, so obviously with the trade, I kind of feel like, so for the Cavs, they're really the only thing they need to do is they're, supposedly, they should be building a team to beat Golden State. Because at this point, they shouldn't expect to see anybody else in the finals. And so I think when you're looking at it from that perspective, I really don't think they got any closer to doing that. Like, obviously, they got a good package deal for Kyrie Irving, which is what you want to do because you expect him to leave and he wanted to leave. But I just feel like they can't beat the Warriors with Isaiah Thomas playing a large role because of those guys that are on the floor and the problem he creates defensively. And I want to know what you guys think about that.
Well, when you talk about him playing against Golden State, it's interesting because Steph isn't going to, you know – it's hard to stick Steph anyway. I mean, Kyrie Irving couldn't do it. Isaiah's not going to be able to do it. But he's not in Steph. You're not going to take – Steph's not going to take guys to the post, really. So their style of play is what – you know, they get a lot of layups. They shoot a lot of three-pointers. They shoot them at a high clip.
Mm-hmm.
What I've said in the past is I think the depth on your team is going to help you compete against them. And that's where I think if Cleveland has gotten closer, Jackson, it's their depth. I think they got a little bit better, obviously, you know, with Crowder. I like him on the defensive end. He's a 3-and-D guy. He's going to knock down the three. Isaiah brings something to it. We don't know about the big young fella. He's really nothing in the league right now. Then you add D. Rose to your bench. So I think that their bench got deeper. And no one's talking about the fact that they still have Kevin Love. He was the hot trade piece, and now he's still there. So are they better than Golden State? No. Did they get a little closer? Maybe they might have.
Yeah.
Yeah. So what do you guys think as far as like, because I think the thing Isaiah Thomas brings is scoring, right?
Right.
At all, it was a concern that he didn't score the basketball well against the Cavs. Like, you kind of feel like that maybe regular season, the defenses aren't as tight. Then when you play teams like Golden State and the Cavs, when they're motivated, he's not going to put up 28 and
but
shoot 47% from the field.
Let's say this, though, Jackson. He didn't do that as the number one. You know what I'm saying? He was the number one. So when you get the scouting report, it's going to start with whoever's the number one guy, that's the guy we're locking in on. Then we're going to go to the number two guy. Now he's going to be the number two guy because you're locking in on LeBron. So LeBron's going to be finding him in more advantageous positions than him holding the ball in all five eyes on 10 eyes on him from the defense. So from that standpoint, we know he's a fourth quarter scorer, led the league in fourth quarter scoring. I think it's a good fit because now he's not the number one. He's the number two with a guy who's willing to pass the basketball and get it to him.
That's actually really – I did not even think about that. That's a great point. All right, thank you, guys.
Hey, thank you for the call. We appreciate it very much. Diego, you're next. Hello, Diego.
Hey, guys. I actually think the addition of IT to the Cavs actually makes them worse against the Warriors. because I think they're going to exploit it on the pick and roll. Because I think what they'll do is they'll do a 1-3 pick and roll with Kevin Durant and Curry, and it'll just be complete mismatches, just like what the Cavs did against Boston on IT. So, as a Warrior fan, to me, I'm encouraged just because I think the track to go back to back is going to be it's a lot more wide open. But to me, it makes the Cavs defensively worse. What do you guys think about that?
Yeah, you make a good point. I mean, on the defensive end, his size is a liability. So was Kyrie, but Kyrie is a bit bigger than IT is. That is going to be up to the scheming and the game plans and trying to figure out one. I mean, let's understand that Golden State is head and shoulders above everyone else. So the fact that they have maybe a way to exploit Cleveland again is just going to have to be what we wait to see.
Good call. Let's get to Pablo. Hello, Pablo.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
What's up?
Good. You know, I have to say this is one of those rare trades where both sides, in my opinion, did really well. I think Danny Ainge, I ended up with Executive of the Year in Boston's happy days over there. But on the Cleveland side now, that's where it's interesting to me because LeBron talking about, you know, there's rumors that he might leave. They had the draft pick, which I think the draft pick was makes the deal right for Cleveland. But they might be tempted to use that mid-season if things aren't going well, which I think would be a mistake, especially if LeBron leaves. And so what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, if LeBron leaves, wherever LeBron goes, that team has a fast track to the finals.
No
even,
question.
Even in the Western Conference, it makes it a lot – it's going to be tougher, but it makes that team a lot better. So it's – the draft pick, Grant, I think is the one caveat in the whole trade that makes it really interesting for both sides, but it definitely for the Cleveland Cavaliers.
We'll come right back. Don't forget, we'll talk NBA basketball. That is coming up next with Sekou Smith of NBA TV. And we are back with you, Grant Napier and Doug Christie. We are with you till 7 o'clock. Big trade that we're still breaking down that was completed last night with Cleveland and Boston. Doug and I feel that Cleveland got the best in this deal, but you know, again, these things can look a lot different a year from now, but we're gonna talk about it with Sekou Smith from NBA TV. Sekou, Grant Napier and Doug Christie, how are you? Great.
Gentlemen, what's happening? How you doing?
We're doing good. Let's break this deal down. Doug and I put the check mark in the column of Cleveland in terms of who we think got the better of the deal. Give me your thoughts.
Well, look, I think Cleveland gathered up more assets, no question about it. When you talk about the players that they acquired, you get an all-star in Isaiah Thomas for an all-star in Kyrie Irving. You know, Jay Crowder is a rugged defender, a quality offensive player, and a guy who's going to really add some depth to that roster. Zizic is a project, so I don't really, you know what you get out of him yet, but that draft pick is what pushes it over the top. The fact that it's unprotected and it could end up being, you know, potentially one of the transcendent players in next summer's draft is just it's more than you could have imagined they would get for one guy, even a guy as good as Kyrie.
Sekou, you know, we've been focusing on the players. Give me your take on someone who people might not know and they're going to get to know is Kobe Altman, the Cavs GM. I think that this kind of sets his chops, if you want to say, in the NBA. This is a big move. They've added a lot of pieces. What do you think about what he's doing?
Listen, I will tell you one way to endear yourself to your NBA owner boss is to save him $29.1 million
right
penalties. That will probably get you a bonus and a raise for next year. So, look, I think he stepped into a really treacherous situation.
Right,
you know, when you got one of your star players publicly, you know, it's out there in the public that he wants out of there. You could have tried to get these guys a training camp and put on a referee shirt and tried to, you know, get him and LeBron to sue this over. But if Kyrie was determined not to come to training camp and be a part of that roster anymore, you had to get the best deal you possibly could for him. And to me, I don't know where else you'd have gotten what you did out of Boston if you were Cleveland, because the Celtics, everybody knows, have the most assets to work with of any team in the league right now. Danny Ainge gave up an unprotected draft pick and still has like five or seven more to work with in the next couple of seasons. So it was a great work by Kobe Altman, no doubt.
You know, Sekou, when you talk about the rift that is between LeBron James and Kyrie Irving, just being in NBA locker rooms, I'm asking you, I don't know how real it is, or was it Kyrie saying, I see the moves that LeBron might make and I want to stamp my way and make sure that I get out of here and go do my own thing. What's your take on the mindset behind why this happened?
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that Kyrie is a 25-year-old young bull with a championship ring in his back pocket and an opportunity to stretch out a little bit. Think about his basketball existence. He played 11 games at Duke. He played three torturous seasons in Cleveland before LeBron came back.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's been on a ride the last 3 years going to the finals each year. So that's all he knows. I mean, he hasn't had a chance to really stretch himself out and see what he's capable of and test the limits of his talent and mm-hmm. what he might be able to do in a situation that he, you know, makes for himself.
Right.
And I like the ambition. I'm not going to lie to you. I don't know in a game and in a system where you have a finite amount of time to maximize your abilities and your earning power, I think it's a risk to give up what he's given up in playing alongside a guy like LeBron who's guaranteed to put you on a certain platform.
Right.
But if you're confident in your abilities and what you can do, it's not about petty locker room rifts and this and the other. It's about you wanting to show the world that you're a champion.
Sekou, I just heard you say that he had a conversation with Kobe Bryant. Is that what you just said?
Listen, he's always talked about having that Mamba mentality. This is he has it, and you know what, Doug, you would know this better than anybody, man. I think that 7-year age gap between LeBron and Kyrie.
Yeah.
That's a lot greater than you realize.
You're right. You're absolutely
right. The mentality of players of his generation and a guy like LeBron and what he came into the league, you know, understand it. So it's it's the skinny jean generation.
You know, the other part of this deal, which we really aren't certain, is the health of Isaiah Thomas, correct?
Well, look, he didn't have to have surgery, so you feel good about his chances of getting back to normal. And I don't think Cleveland would have made a deal like this giving up Kyrie if they had any concerns about that.
If you look at both of those two players and you flip them, obviously, I think there's a greater chance. Obviously, you look at Isaiah being the number two now behind LeBron. That just, in my opinion, it speaks to success. Now, the number one for Kyrie in Boston, my question to you, Sekou, is how do you think he's going to fit into Brad Stevens' dribble drive pass kick as opposed to he likes to boogie on it and then get his buckets, and he's very, very good at it?
Yeah, that's a great question. Really, that's the one thing that I think we'll all be curious to see is just, you know, what does Brad Stevens do to cater his system around his players?
Right.
You got Kyrie and Gordon Hayward. So two guys who really like to work off the dribble, you know, and might not be used to moving the ball, you know, in the way that the Celtics have in recent years. But that was because Brad Stevens wasn't working with all-star talent necessarily. I think Kyrie will be fine. I think anytime you put elite-level players, whether they're, you know, superstars and all-stars or elite-level role players together, mm-hmm. they always find a way to make it work. You
True.
Know, these guys understand that for the greater good, you're going to have to sacrifice some of what you like to do, and you're going to have to probably play a little bit higher level of basketball on the other end of the floor too. Like, Kyrie is not exactly a lockdown defender, and he's going to have to give a better effort on that end of the floor. So I think it'll be interesting. I think Brad Stevens is a brilliant young coach and a guy who's shown you he can take whatever talent Danny Ainge sends his way and mold them into, you know, a unit and make them successful. And that'll be something fun to watch this year in Boston.
The other issue is, you know, we're right back to where we were, and that is, yeah, everything looks great, but barring injury, neither of these teams are going to beat Golden State, right?
You could put these two teams together, and I don't know if they could beat Golden State.
How How scary
I mean,
is
it? Seriously.
Think about that. That's incredible. But yeah, you're right. But when you really analyze that and you think about, okay, we're going to put the Cavs and the Celtics together and they probably still don't beat Golden State, that's scary.
Yeah, best of seven. We talked about this earlier today on my podcast on NBA.com. If we took all the players, all the big-name players who got moved this summer, Chris Paul, Jimmy Butler, Paul George, you know, Kyrie, Isaiah Thomas, we put them all on the same team, could they beat the Warriors in the best of seven? I was like, I don't know. And, you know, I really don't know. I got to think about that.
You know, when I look at how you are going to end up competing against the Warriors, Grant and I talk about this a lot, and I really think that it's depth, Sekou. That's what I get. Normally, when they went to their bench, Golden State, that's how they were just killing everybody. Well, now they traded that in for Kevin Durant. They still have a decent bench, but now it's the starters. They absolutely floor you. When they go to their bench, that's where you're going to have to not separate. You're going to have to come back, and that's where you're going to get back in the game. Looking at Cleveland, now they're not beating them, but you add a D. Rose. You already got Korver and Love, J.R. Smith, and then you add a Jeff Green that might be a younger version of a Richard Jefferson, and you add IT and you add Crowder. Do you think that they, even though they're not ready to make that move past them, did they make a move closer than where they were last year?
Yes, I think they did. I think the quality of depth they'll bring to the party if they get back to the finals and see the Warriors again will be a little bit different. I think the one issue they have is just the Kevin Durant matchup problem. And when you had Kyrie, you had a guy who could go toe-to-toe with Steph, at least offensively, to maybe negate the difference there. The big issue is the third and fourth guy for the Warriors are two of the best two-way players in the league in Draymond Green and Klay Thompson.
Right.
And that means either one of them can go for 20 on a given night. Klay can go for 20 and a quarter. And they can guard your best players on the other end of the floor. And that, you couple that with Golden State, the chemistry and just the understanding of who they are as a group and how, you know, the flow that they play with. I just think it's really difficult for anybody to oust them in a best of seven. It's the best teams win in best of seven series, and they're going to have the best team everybody they play.
As we sit here closing in on the end of August, and before you know it, we'll be talking NBA training camps. What do you think is going to be the end result with Carmelo Anthony? Opening night, is he wearing a Knicks uniform?
You know, I have to believe that Carmelo has watched all this other action go on this summer, and if there's a deal out there to be done, he's got to press for it to happen before training camp. You don't want to go into another season with this whole thing hanging over you about your future. If you're Carmelo, you know, you got the power of that no-trade clause. Mm-hmm. So it's really up to him if he can figure out a way to get something done. If Kyrie got moved before the start of training camp, Carmelo certainly should be able to get moved before the start of camp. And I think he almost has to if his heart is not playing in New York and trying to be a part of what they got going on.
It sounds like we might see D. Wade in a Cleveland Cavaliers jersey. That would be half of a banana boat. What's the chances of we getting half of the boat? And then what are the chances of next year we get the whole boat, Sunday, the whole deal?
You know, I don't know where they're going to get it done, but it does seem like they're all hell-bent on getting together at least for one season in their careers.
Mm-hmm.
If D. Wade can hold up. You know, Houston will be an interesting situation because Chris Paul is not necessarily there for the long term, even though I know they'd love to have him, sign up for a few more years there. It's all up to LeBron, really. It's up to LeBron to decide his future in Cleveland. And if he decides to stick around and be there long term, which of those guys can he recruit to come and play with him? Because he's the Pied Piper. He's the guy that's still at the level where he can direct his team automatically to championship level.
He's going to have to do a lot of pied piping to get him to Cleveland, Sekou.
Hey, it's not so bad. Cleveland is not as bad as you think.
Really? Based on what?
It's not. I mean, it's based on
Milwaukee, based on
Memphis, based on Detroit. Okay. All right. You're right.
You can go to some other cities in the NBA and not be as happy as you are with Cleveland, man. And I give LeBron a ton of credit. I interned in Cleveland 20-some years ago, it is a different place.
No, it is.
The last few years since that came true. Back.
Hey,
really
I went to college in Bowling Green, and so I've had a lot of – and you know what? I'll just say one thing. Thank goodness for the casino. At least we got something to do when we're there now. You know what I'm saying? Say cool,
well,
good stuff,
none
man.
None of us get invited to Cleveland, man. None of us don't get invited back.
This is true.
That
man.
Is beautiful.
Appreciate
say cool.
You,
thank
say
you very cool. much.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Take care. All right, we'll be right back. Sports 1140 KHDK. I need this kind of music right before I go to bed. I'd be asleep in about 10 seconds. What kind of what are you doing with me? What kind of music is this? Dr. Dre, what the hell? I mean, literally, I feel like I'm at a funeral.
You let the beat drop. It's 5:51.
You like this music? Forget
yes,
about
do.
The read. I got to ask you, then we'll do the read. Do you like this?
Dr. Dre?
No, I didn't ask you if you like Dr. Dre. Do you like this particular cut of the music?
See, I'm a smooth jazz guy, so this is kind of...
I like smooth jazz, too, but yeah, I mean, give me a freaking break here.
You trying to stay awake? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
This is putting you to sleep? Drop something on him, then,
you know what,
Kyle. Drop it on
you
him.
Know
wake
what,
him up, baby.
I feel like I'm in Asia at one of these high-profile spas. And I'm, that's what I feel. No, really, that's what I feel like here. All right, what time is it?
There you go. it is 5. Oh, my goodness. It is 5:51. Jenny King, cleaning franchise ownership is a reality. Be your own boss. Call 916-364-9800. Drop the beat, DJ.
What's wrong with you? Drop the beat.
You guys can't pay for this type of entertainment, man. I'm telling you, Napier, you're something else, buddy.
No, I don't get it.
Oh, man. I every day I know.
And I love Kyle, man. He's great. But, I mean, come on, dude.
Hey. Come on, Kyle. He called you out there, buddy. Stay on it, DJ Mixmaster. Let's go.
Kind of hard to beat Charles when he's in there. You know what I mean?
Oh, Charles, he's the funk master.
I think Charles stays up like 20 hours out of the 24. Hey, what kind of good music can I have for Grant and Doug?
Yeah, Charles. Yeah, you, as soon as he puts it on, he has that look on his face like, yeah.
You know what? For my next bumper music, I want to hear, bring us in with Here Come the Yankees. Here come the Yankees. Oh. Da, na, 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 na,
Charles,
Yankees.
Listen.
No, really. That's Kyle, what I want to listen to.
If you do that.
No, I mean, it's great. You've never heard it before. Have you heard it before?
I just heard you sing it.
No, you haven't heard it. You need to hear it. You would like it.
Is that on the internet?
I'm sure you go to YouTube anywhere. Of course, it's Here Come the Yankees.
We got to watch them every freaking day. Do I have to listen to it too?
Do I make the TV decisions for the networks? Yankees, get behind and cheer the Yankees.
Good God. I apologize, listeners. What the hell? This is a real song? Grant. No words, man.
What a classic.
What a classic. Oh, my goodness.
That's been wrong. That song, before I was born, I've been listening to that song.
Yeah, that one of those, what do they call those?
Pop? You got a song for the Mariners?
Yeah.
Yeah, their song is, we pray that we're going to win one of these days.
No,
we
no.
pray that we're going to win.
Our song is, no. Come on. You are.
Hey, no, really.
Tough crowd. Oh, we got some. We got a Sir Mix-a-Lot song. I'm pretty sure you would like a lot. I'll leave it at that.
All right, Yankee song's a classic.
It sounds like it was made way back.
It was a long time ago.
Barbershop Quartet.
Yep.
Pretty much. Okay, I got it. Hey, Kyle, never again, buddy.
Kyle, let me tell you something.
Don't do it, man.
We got a rookie over here, so you don't listen to him. You listen to me.
Don't do it. Just act like something's wrong with the internet. Like
we
the
know
internet
nothing's
shut
wrong
down.
With it. And you know how good's Kyle to get that up within 15 seconds?
Wow, that was pretty good, man.
I mean, that's
top shelf.
You,
yeah, well played, Kyle.
Yeah, he's on his game.
Yes. That part.
I told you. What did I tell you about Kyle? What did I tell you? When?
Yeah.
What did I tell you?
Yeah, you said he was terrible. You're right.
See?
He did not say that, Kyle. He praised you, man. He praised you.
That's right. He's one of my best interns I've ever had.
He's still an intern?
Nope.
Okay. You moved him up?
I didn't move him up. He moved up on his own.
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Kyle, he does good work. You know where I met him at, right? NBC up in the Bay Area.
Yeah, that's what you said.
Yeah,
he and John Wilson.
Yeah, J-Dub.
John was an intern of mine too.
Hey, you know your intern. Hey, Kyle, you getting married? Oh, no. Okay. You know, J-Dub's getting married.
Is he?
Yeah, he's tying a knot.
Why would that have anything to do with Kyle getting married?
Well, I was just thinking maybe it's kind of one of your intern things. That has nothing to do with it. You drive him to get married.
I definitely 100% do not. I definitely do not. Not at that age.
After working with Grant, no. I'm getting married.
Not at that age.
Not that age.
No, no, no. They're too young to get married.
I got you.
John's a great guy, too. Yeah, John is a fabulous guy.
But I don't know. How'd you get these great guys? I mean, like.
They sought. They saw me.
Okay,
I didn't go after them.
Okay,
they said, "Hey, I want to be on Grant's show."
There you go.
Exactly.
I got you.
I really don't know. What are you laughing at?
Because I come in here and I know for a fact when Napes is in, I'm going to get a good
laugh
every day.
I'm telling you, I've told Kyle this. He and John, honestly, were two of my very best interns I've ever had.
Yeah, I could.
I mean,
that.
I had some really good ones. I'm not going to lie, but those two were near the top of the list.
Good ones. We won't say
I did have some not so good ones, and you know what? They're not doing anything right now in the business.
Well, that's because they were not so good.
But most of them have been. I've been pretty lucky. Unfortunately, our company doesn't allow interns anymore, which is a travesty, because there are so many people that have come through these doors since I've been here in 22 years that have gone on to have phenomenal careers. And I'm not saying that they would not have had good careers.
Right.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is it opened up the door for them. And I will tell you, and I said this the other day when I was filling in for Dave and Katie, I'm not so sure that I would have been in this business had it not been for my internship that I did when I was in college my junior year. It completely paved the way for my first full-time job and enabled me to get my foot in the door and move up the ladder. And I really question whether or not I would have made it without the experience that I gained from my internships.
Yeah, just the ability to learn on the job as opposed to someone telling you
night
reading books.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
All right, we have 1 hour left. Grant Napier and Doug Christie, this is Sports 1140 KHDK.